How many of you like Third Day? That's a Third Day song there. Very good. I'm telling you can throw any song at this band and give them a day or two and they got it. Amen. We're very fortunate. We're in a series called Beautiful, and we've been learning how to rid ourselves from the things that are keeping us from having the beautiful life God has in store for us. Now, I want to begin this morning with a health quiz, okay? Everybody up for that? How many of you ever had a broken bone? Raise your hand. A broken bone. A lot of broken bones, okay. How many of you ever had stitches? You've had stitches. Now, there are more people had stitches than a broken bone. How many of you have had two broken bones? Can I get a third? How many have had at least 20 stitches? Now, that group over there must have been on a bus and they all crashed or something. About eight of them in that one section. 40 stitches. You better look at those people and don't ride home with them, okay? How many of you ever had a knife wound? I recently read Rick Ankiel's book. He was a former cardinal. His book was called The Phenom. It's a good book. And he talked about years ago, Mike Matheny, now the manager of the Cardinals, he was a catcher at that time, and he accidentally cut himself very seriously by putting a hunting knife back in the sheath. So be careful with knives. Anybody cut themselves carving the turkey? Anybody? No? Nobody would admit it, would they? No, yeah. So anybody ever been shot and you have a gunshot wound? We've got at least one. Well, I believe we could all agree that it's dangerous out in the world. And there are many ways to be hurt and wounded. But this morning I want to talk about a different kind of wound. The hidden wounds of life, such as horrible memories and resentments in life and regrets and ridicule and worries and fears that we have from our past. One of the lines in the song we heard goes like this: memory warned you of the past when it all went wrong. Memory warns you of the past when it all went wrong. We can get these hidden wounds anywhere and at any age. We can get them from our time at school. You know, how can kids be so mean with their words and bullying? Every week that goes by, I hear some story of the aftermath of the bullying of children. But some of you sitting here today, you remember things that were said to you as a child, and you've never forgotten it 30, 40, 50 years ago. Now, I believe it's worse in our day because of the use of social media for bullying. People hide behind the computer and do the bullying. Now, we can get hidden wounds from neighbors, so-called friends. We can get hidden wounds from the workplace, from bosses, from coworkers. But the deepest hidden wounds of all seem to come from our own families. They come from parents. They come from spouses, former spouses. They come from brothers and sisters. And they can come from our own children. I truly believe that everybody in this room has hidden wounds of some kind to some extent. Often, the hidden wounds are much harder to heal than those physical wounds of broken bones and knife cuts and gunshot wounds, whatever it might be. Now, the good news this morning is that God wants to heal our hidden wounds. I want you to read this with me after I take a little swig. I'm sorry, I battle dry mouth, but you're so gracious to bear with me with that. Read it together. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You need to write this one down and put it somewhere on your refrigerator or your mirror. This verse is a wonderful promise from God that tells us He desires to heal us of our wounds and our hidden hurts, to bind up the brokenness of our hearts. And this morning we're going to look at what God uses to do that for us. The first thing is that we must admit the hurt that caused the inner wound in our life. You're never going to get well. You're never going to move past this. You're never going to be the beautiful person God wants you to be until you face the feeling straight on. See, a lot of people think, well, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I'll get through this because, you see, time heals everything. And I used to believe that time healed everything. But if you really think about it, that's not exactly true. If you have cancer, time alone doesn't make your cancer better. Yes or no? Without medical treatment, time will probably make it worse. If you've been in an accident, and maybe you've severed a limb, and you're bleeding profusely, you're not going to get better by time alone. You're going to need some serious intervention. Some surgery is going to be needed. You know, if time healed everything, you could just get an appointment, go to the doctor's office, and sit and read those 5- and 6-month-old magazines all day long. You don't need to see the doctor. Just spend a lot of time there. Recently, I had to sit and wait for 1 hour and 20 minutes past my scheduled appointment time. Normally, I wouldn't do that, but it was a situation I had to have what this doctor could give me. Now, if time heals everything, why was I getting anxious? And I was getting anxious. And why was I getting frustrated over that long wait? So I ask you, does time really heal all things? People respond to hidden wounds in many different ways. But most people just clam up and they stuff it down, that situation, into some deep, dark place inside of them. And some of you here this morning are you're tired and you're worn out because you're using all your emotional energy on the hidden wounds of your past. And you spend so much of your time resenting and regretting and thinking about the person or the people who've hurt you. And you plot how you're going to get revenge, how you're going to get payback. And all your energy is focused on the past. That's using up emotional energy to such an extent that you have little energy left to get on with your life today. David wrote this in Psalm 32:3. When I kept things to myself, bottled up inside, deep down, stuffed down, I felt weak deep inside me. I moaned all day long. Now, although David was reflecting on a sinful time in his life, I believe this verse can speak to those who have been wounded. Some of you are doing that. You're holding on to the inner hurts and wounds of the past, and you feel weak inside. This may have been going on for years. And if you were honest this morning, it's not getting any better. Millions of people all over the world are in emotional pain today, and they're doing a variety of things to try to escape from their pain. Some people move from one relationship to another, thinking maybe this will be the answer. Some people try to medicate the pain away with drugs or alcohol. Some people fill their time and their minds with television and hobbies or all forms of recreation and sports. People will try anything to escape the inner wounds that they have. God has an answer for the emotional pain that inner wounds and hurts have inflicted on people. The answer starts with the fact you have to admit the hurt that caused the inner wound in your life. You've got to admit the hurt, and you've got to be honest about what it's doing to you. You've got to be honest first with God. Then you've got to be honest with yourself. And then you've got to be honest with at least one other person that you trust. First, be honest with God. You know, God, I'm in pain here. Cry out, God, it's not fair. God, why did this happen? God can take it. I've said all those things and more. God can take it. It's okay to be real and honest with God. He can handle whatever you throw at him. He knows it's in your heart. So get it out. You must be honest with God and tell him what you're feeling about those hidden wounds and hurts in your life. He already knows about them. But this is a way for you, because of the honesty, it helps you jumpstart the healing process. And I hope if you're there, you want to jumpstart the healing process today. So be honest with God, then be honest with yourself. These wounds hurt. And it's okay to be honest with yourself, your feelings about those people, about that person, that incident that caused you so much pain and hurt deep down in your heart. You're honest with God. You're honest with yourself. And then, maybe the hardest part of all, you need to find somebody that you trust that you can be honest with them. Could be a family member. Many times it's not. Could be someone in your life group. Could be a friend. It's absolutely essential that you find this person, because you're not going to get well on your own in isolation. It's not going to happen. You need to open up. You need to tell someone you trust about the hurt that's caused the inner wounds you're carrying around every day of your life. So admitting the hurt is the first step. Am I doing something wrong, Don? I'm hearing, is it my beard? I'm sorry. I'm not going to cut my beard for you guys. Admitting the hurt is the first step that we must take to receive God's healing. So after you face it and you admit the hurt that caused your inner wound, then God takes us to the next step for our healing. The next step is, I must release those who've hurt and wounded me. I must release those people, that person who hurt me. We can't get well as long as we have resentment and anger in our hearts against others. It's not going to happen. For your own sake, for your own emotional health, you've got to let go of the right to get even with those who have hurt you. You see, all of us only have a certain amount of emotional energy. So we've got to decide whether to use our emotional energy to get even or get healed. You don't have enough energy to do both. Get even, get healed. And you and I have to decide, do we want to get healed from the pain of those wounds, or do we want to get even with the person who caused them? Tough, isn't it? There's only one person on the planet that can make that call for you. Who is it? It's your call. Get healed or get even. God can't force you. You got to make that call. Now, let me warn you that if you could get even with that person, if it was even possible to get even with that person or those people, it won't take away your pain. There's only one way that God has devised to take away our pain in this situation. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And there's no other way. There's no other way. And you don't forgive because they deserve it. Because you're right. You're sitting there right now, you're saying they don't deserve it, Pastor David. And you're right. I agree with you. But who said anybody deserved forgiveness? I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And if you're sitting there thinking that you deserve God's forgiveness, your theology is messed up. Forgiveness has nothing to do with being fair or being deserved. God models forgiveness for us in this great passage that I love so much. John wrote, if we confess our sins, read it with me, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and He's just. He models forgiveness for me there. Those people who've wounded you may never confess their wrongs against you. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to forgive them. Oh, I'll forgive them when they ask for forgiveness. Not that. You got to let those people off the hook. And how do you do that? There's only one way. By forgiveness. By forgiveness. They don't deserve to be forgiven. I agree with you. But neither do you or I deserve to be forgiven for what we've done against a holy and righteous God. Nobody deserves forgiveness. But we choose to forgive because we want to get on with our lives. And we know that God has forgiven us. Paul writes, dear friends, never, underline that in your mind, avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for He has said that He will repay those who what? Does that five-letter word never mean never in your book? I think when Paul wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago, when he wrote the Greek word that is translated to never, it means the same thing then as it means today. Paul tells us to leave the payback to God for the wounds that have been inflicted on us. The reason we hold on to the desire to avenge ourselves is we forget that God knows all about those playground incidents. He knows all about those times, wherever it might have been, and all about those people that have hurt us and wounded us. God was watching. God saw. We forget that God sees the pain that we've gone through in our lives. And then we convince ourselves, we tell ourselves, that it's our responsibility to even the score. God's too busy. God didn't see it. It's my responsibility. But no, it's not my responsibility. Because Paul said it's God's responsibility. God says, don't try to avenge yourself. Don't. He said, I'll take care of it. I've got you in this. So I ask you this morning, who do you think can do a better job of setting the score? You or God? We think if we don't hold on to the hurt and the pain that someone has done to us, that then they'll get away with it. If I don't keep it in my life, if I don't hang on to it, if I don't stew about it, if I don't plot and do this, then they'll get away. They're going to walk free. We believe that we've got to hold on to this thing or it'll be forgotten, and that won't be fair. And if that's what you're thinking, I want you to know that you're wrong. Because that person or those people aren't going to get away with it. God knows what happened. And God keeps the best books in all the universe. And on Judgment Day, those books of deeds and actions are going to be opened. And they're going to be balanced by Almighty God. Paul says that God will repay those who deserve it. I didn't say that. Pastor Damon didn't say that. Paul said that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God's going to pay back those who deserve it. So what do we do now in the meantime? I suggest that we do what Jesus did. Peter says, when he suffered, referencing Jesus, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always, what is it? Judges fairly. Jesus didn't try to get even. Was it fair what they did to Jesus? As God's son, he could have easily destroyed all those who were making him suffer during his crucifixion. But he didn't do it. He's leaving this up to God, the Father in heaven. You've read his words from the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. And I've often wondered, how could anyone say that? Why should you and I forgive the people who've wounded us? First place, because we've been forgiven by God. Second place, we're going to need more forgiveness of God in the future because we're going to commit sins in the future. Say, not me. I'm never going to commit another sin in my life. Well, please go out there and walk across the water in the lake. We are going to commit sins, my brothers and sisters, and we're going to need God's forgiveness. Matthew writes, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father, capital F, God the Father, not your human father, will not forgive your sins. If you refuse, guess what? You're not going to be forgiven. And then in the third place, Unforgiveness doesn't work. You're only hurting yourself. I'm only hurting myself. I've lived a lot of my life in unforgiveness. And I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't work. The resentment, the desire to get even from the hidden wounds of the past, it doesn't work any other way but by forgiveness. Your past is past. But if you continue to hold on to it, you continue to hold on to all the resentment of those things from the past, they continue to hurt you. So first you admit the hurt that caused the inner pain and wound in your life. Second, you release those people who hurt you and wounded you. And then third, you replace the old lies with God's truth. Replace those old lies that you've been listening to in your mind with God's truth. When you put all kinds of garbage into your mind, guess what's going to come out? What's that little acronym, G-I-G-O? Anybody know what that means? Garbage in, garbage out. So you must replace the garbage of the old lies that you've been told in your life with God's truth, which is found in the Bible. Maybe when you were a child, people said things to you that hurt you so deeply and registered so succinctly in your heart that you remember them years later. You could write them down right now, some of those words. You believe those lies because they were told by people who represented authority to you, people that you looked up to. Could have been your parents. Could have been a teacher. Could have been a scout leader, a coach. Could have been a priest or a preacher. But see, those people were wrong. They said things to you that you've been playing over and over in your mind for so many years. Things like, you know, you're not very coordinated. You know, you're never going to be good at math. I don't even know why you're trying. You're always going to struggle with your weight, little Porky. You're really never going to amount to much in life. Why can't you be like your brother? God doesn't love you. And on and on and on. Lie after lie after lie. These people were speaking lies into your mind that have been playing tricks on you for years. Former spouses spoke lies. Former employers spoke lies. Former employees spoke lies. Now we can dwell on the lies. We can choose to believe what God's Word says about us. The truth of who we are in Jesus today. If you want to be healed from the past wounds of those lies in your life, you've got to replace the garbage people have said to you about you with God's Word and God's truth. Paul writes, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Paul says one of the keys for God to transform you is to change the way you think. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. So how do you change the way you think? It's not easy, but it's worth it. First, you ask God to heal your memories of all that garbage, those hurtful lies spoken to you down through the past. Then, as He's doing that, you turn your attention to God's Word, the Bible. You tell yourself that I'm going to read a book of the Bible in the next month, or I'm going to read the whole New Testament in 2018. The craziest thing in the world to me to know that there are people in this church today that have never read through the whole New Testament in any given year. Maybe their whole life. You fill your mind with God's Word. And the more that you get God's Word inside of you, the more it begins to cleanse you and push out the garbage of the lies, and it replaces it with the good things that God says about you. And you should pay special attention to what God says about you in His Word. And there's one verse that stands out as a very powerful truth for us to remember. Paul says, long ago, says this about us, even before He made the world, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us, the death on the cross. He decided then to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault. We who stand before Him covered with His love. Do you know if you've trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, God looks down upon you right now and He sees you without a single fault. Your husband or wife don't even look at you like that. Now that doesn't mean we're perfect. Let's understand that. But to God, we're without fault. And why is that? Because of what Christ did for us by dying on the cross and covering our sins and cleansing us for sins, past, present, and future. And God looks upon us as faultless. Psychologists tell us that we see ourselves to a large degree. We see ourselves by what we think the most important person in our life thinks about us. Talk about good self-esteem. Some of you need to make God the most important being in your life, because in the Bible, when you do get around to reading it, and some of you, as you read it now, you're going to learn that God says that you're very lovable to Him. You're very valuable to Him. And He accepts you. And He wants you to know Him in a greater dimension. When we can learn to see ourselves the way God sees us, not the way our former coach or our former wife or our former whatever teacher saw us, we can be on our way to being healed of those inner wounds. After we replace the lies with God's truth, then number four, we refocus on the future. We must refocus on the future. That means you get your attention off the past and onto God's purpose for your future. Focusing heavily on the past is the danger, I might warn you, of many non-Christian counselors and therapists. I'm not against counseling, I'm not against therapy, but I'm very cautious about who I advise people to see. If they're not a Christian counselor or therapist, they're not building their therapy around the truth of God's Word. And they may be actually harming you. And you may be getting worse even after spending many, many hours in therapy. Many therapies today are regressive, which means they totally focus on the past. You dig deep and deep and deep into the past. And what does that do for you? It's like trying to drive a car. Everybody get your hands in front of you. Come on. And there's the rearview mirror, okay? Now, you're trying to drive a car, and you're looking in the rearview mirror. How's that going to work out for you? The outcome is not going to be what you want, and you're actually going to get worse. We're going to dig you out of a ditch out here. Therapy that's not God-centered and deals in the past is not forward-oriented. We need to be looking forward. Yes, my past was my past, was my past, was my past. But guess what? It's my past. And this is my future. November 26, 2017, and I'm moving forward. And can I hear an amen? We're going forward. Here's God's three-step approach to get rid of painful memories from our past. It's from the Old Testament book of Job. Put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Thousands of years ago, God gave this prescription. First, as God says, put your heart right. Whether your name is Job, I could put my name. Put your heart right, David. Put your heart right, Bill. Put your heart right, Dorothy. Put your heart right, Sue. Put your name in there. Put your heart right. That means you do the right thing, whether the other person does the right thing or not. Whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Whether you ever get their approval or not. You don't need their approval to be made well and healed. The verse says, you put your heart right. David, you put your heart right. You do the right thing regardless of what your former spouse, regardless of what your dad, regardless of what your boss, regardless of what your teacher, whoever it was that wounded you, whatever they did, you put your heart right. You do the right thing. You make the conscious decision to forgive them and put your heart right through forgiveness. Second, you reach out to God. If you want to get rid of your inner hurts and wounds, you've got to reach out to God. You need to invite Jesus Christ into every area of your life. You throw all the doors open and you say, Jesus, you're welcome in my work life. You're welcome in my home life. You're welcome in my recreation life. You're welcome in my financial life. You're welcome in my marital life or my singleness life. You're welcome in my thought life, and on and on and on. Some of you invited Christ into your life, but you've kept one or more of those doors shut. Jesus, we just don't go there, okay? And it's not going to work that way, my friends. God wants to be in all of your life, all of your life, not 50, not 70, not 90%, but all, 100%, God wants to be in all of it. When you're serious about healing the wounds in your life, you've got to make the invitation and say, Jesus, come into all of my life. I open all the doors, and I reach out, Jesus, I invite you into all of my life, and I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, to heal my hidden wounds and hurts. And then face the world again is the third thing we see from this passage. That means you don't withdraw. You don't isolate yourself. Such a human natural tendency when we're hurt and wounded, we withdraw. We find a corner. We find a dark place. You don't build up walls. You don't say things like, I'll never let another human being hurt me again. And whether you know it or not, that's not the way to live. That's just existing in life. So you put your heart right, and you reach out to God, and then you face the world again. And if you'll notice the benefit of doing all these three things, it says, then all your troubles will fade from your memory. Wouldn't you like that? Some of those things just fade from your memory. The principle is, if you forget the bad by refocusing on something better, you forget the bad, face the world again with God's help. Don't hang your head in shame. Because your past is not your future. It doesn't matter as much to God what has been done to us or what we've done in the past as it matters where you're headed today on this Thanksgiving weekend. We can face the world again because with Christ, Your past is not your future. Say it with me. With Christ, my past is not my future. We come to the last step God uses to heal our inner hurts and wounds. And it's to reach out to help others. You know, you're really at the cusp of total healing when you can do this. You redeem the pain from your inner hurts and wounds, and you don't waste it. You don't waste that pain that's been inflicted on you. You can use your experience to help others by letting God doing His good, bringing His good out of your hurts. Paul writes this, He comforts us whenever we suffer. God comforts us. That is why whenever other people suffer, we're able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. So love this verse. So reminded myself, and I've reminded others, of the power of this verse in their life. God wants us, you and me, to come alongside people who are in pain from inner wounds and hurts. And He wants us to make an effort to comfort them with the same type of comfort that we receive from Him. God's bringing us into that healing process. And I believe that God will show you how to do this. You're sitting there saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I believe if you're obedient and you ask God to lead and guide you to another wounded soul, God will show you step by step, and it won't seem so intimidating and so impossible. Paul writes this in Galatians 6:2. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is the law of Christian love. What is the law of Christian love? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? How do I love my neighbor as myself? And that's not confined only to those people on the north, east, and west, and south of your residence. When you use the pain and the suffering from your inner wounds to help others, and you ask the Lord to help you carry their burdens when they're in pain, that's the law of Christian love. You may remember a story in the Gospel of John where Jesus once asked a man if he wanted to get well. Kind of a strange question. This man had been unable to walk for 38 years. And the man gave Jesus an excuse why he wasn't well. But Jesus didn't buy the excuse. He didn't entertain the excuse. And he healed the man. And the man became instantly able to walk. And it's a great miracle. I think Jesus is asking some of you today if you want to get well. If you want to get healed of the inner wounds and hurts. Some of you may have had them for 38 years. Some of you may have had them for 28 years or 18 years. It doesn't matter how long you've had them. The question is, do you want to get well? Now, you can give the Lord an excuse, but if you really want to get well and to be made beautiful the way God intends for your life, don't give Him an excuse. Say, Lord, I want to get well, starting today. The band's going to come back and play that third day song again. And one of the most powerful phrases in this song to me, and they're going to have the words on the song, they're going to invite you to stay seated and sing along with them if you'd like. But the phrase is, when you think your life is shattered and there's no way to be fixed again, love heals your heart. When you think your life is shattered, there's no way to be fixed again. Love heals your heart. Some of you need to be reminded that because God loves you, those hurts, give me a screen, please, and inner wounds can be healed. It's not impossible. His love does heal our hearts, no matter what we've gone through. God's love heals our hearts, even if our lives have been shattered. It's my prayer as one of the pastors of this church that you'll open your life to Jesus today. And you'll invite him into your heart. Invite him to make your life beautiful as only he can. After we've sung this song, there'll be a prayer team here toward the front. And if you want to come up for prayer about anything, whether it's the subject of this message or something else, please feel free to do so. Let's pray. Lord, a heavy subject today. A topic that probably many in this room could preach because they've lived it and they are living it today. There are some wounds, there are some hurts in our hearts and our lives, and Lord, we're kind of stuck. And we want to get on with life. We want you to make us the beautiful person that we can be in Jesus. But we're stuck, Lord. So I pray today that they can find something in this simple message that will jumpstart them. That they'll open up their hearts and say, Jesus, I need you to heal me. Whether it's forgiveness, whatever it might be, to move them just a little closer to the full healing you want to bring to them. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus does heal our hearts. His wonderful, magnificent love that he exhibited on the cross heals us. And it can start today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.